Bobby, do you know?
This call will go for about 60 minutes.
Okay.
And the replay should be available an hour after the call.
Oh, there is a replay available.
Absolutely.
Okay, because I have to go pick up Alec, okay?
I understand.
Okay, great.
Hi, Claudia. This is Audrey Ross.
Audrey, good
Hi.
Evening. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Nice to hear you.
I just checked the email, like, 1 minute before. I'm like, oh, I'm calling in.
Well, awesome. This is a perfect call.
Yes.
I'm excited. Oh, this is so neat. It's our community.
Yay. This is Irma.
Irma!
Hey, hi, Audrey.
Hi.
Hey, sweetie, how are you?
I'm doing good.
It's been too long.
Tell me about it.
I hope we'll see you on the 26th.
Maybe. That would be a good one. I have to check my schedule. Are you going to
yeah.
do the Mind Mastery?
You know, I almost was.
Uh-huh.
Are you going?
Yes.
Okay, we'll definitely talk about it offline.
Cool.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Manny, are you in?
I'm here.
Awesome. Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, let's get started. Well, Peer Momentum is an online personal development home for those seeking courageous post-seminar momentum and a supportive platform for taking the plunge into realizing their dreams. We are an online community of people empowering people via interactive and eye-opening teleseminars, an empowerment book club that meets in four-star hotels for brainstorming and collaborative conversations, and a supportive peer launchpad where the fearful take the plunge and modestly ask for tools, contacts, and strategies to move their ideas into action. And today I'm very excited to be sharing with you our first official teleseminar of the year, and I would like to introduce Manny Goldman, who is here with us today. Manny is the founder of personalgrowth.com and the author of a new book, The Power of Personal Growth. After hitting rock bottom in 2004, Manny discovered personal growth and became an avid student. In the last 3 years, he has attended and volunteered at more than 50 seminars, read countless books, and listened to dozens of audio programs. The impact of personal growth has had Manny's life. It turned his life around, has inspired him to become the personal growth advocate and declare a mission to raise a global awareness of the power of personal growth for billions of people. Manny has interviewed popular teachers featured in the hit film The Secret, and he will share what he has learned with you. Hi, Manny.
Hi, everyone. Looks like it's ladies' night tonight, huh?
Yes. Well, you have that charm.
I love it.
So I know you have spent enormous amount of time and money on your personal growth and have produced extraordinary results in your life. And so I'm really excited for you to share with us today the key insights and wisdom you have gained from your experiences. And I do remember we met at Wizard Camp. It was about 2 years ago.
Absolutely.
A fabulous experience in Southern California. And I know we share a similar passion for personal growth and absolute desire to make a difference in this world. So I'd like to start with, you know, the call with you telling us a little bit about your background and why personal growth means so much to you.
Yes, it does. As you could tell from that short bio, the word personal growth probably comes up more than any other word, definitely. But for me, my past, we all have a past. My past is quite interesting. I grew up in a very affluent area in Long Island, New York. And although my parents were very rich with love, they struggled financially. And this just left me as a young boy being confused and frustrated. And I basically internalized my emotions by stuffing my face with food and just getting into mischief. I was just a bad, bad little boy, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but what's great about it is that as a young boy, I really got really passionate about making money. And all my role models at the time were entrepreneurs. Even my grandmother was a real estate agent. She worked for herself. Both my parents were entrepreneurs. All my aunts and uncles were entrepreneurs. So I really learned at a young age how to fend for myself and make money. And I'll never forget, I was 6 years old, and we went on vacation for the first time. We went to a Caribbean island. And when I borrowed money from my mother, and I bought bracelets from the natives, about 5 cents a piece. And I went back home, and since I lived in an affluent area, I would sell them for a high markup. I think I sold them for about $1 a piece. So I had about, 200% markup, and, I kept reinvesting my money. It was really a fun experience. I bought candy at a wholesale outlet, you know, Costco or Price Club, whatever it was at the time, and I would sell it to the kids in school. Then I graduated to vending machines as I got a little bit older. And my father was a used car dealer. So as I got older, I got into used cars. And as I even got older and older, I kept doing other business ventures, whether it be detailing cars. There was a couple of, you know, not legal things. I won't tell you the details, but, you know, there was different ways of always making money because I really wanted to keep up with the Joneses. It was just something that was really important to me at the time. I really didn't want to be that, you know, that poor kid in the corner that didn't have what everyone else had, which is, you know, gave me a great drive to be successful. After high school, a lot of my friends were going away to school, you know, great colleges, and college I didn't think was for me. I really wanted to be an entrepreneur. And at 19 years old, it was about my second semester in community college, a life-transforming moment happened for me. My father at the time he owned a used car lot and an auto repair shop, and on a Saturday afternoon we were working together, and he broke his ankle. And he broke his ankle so bad that he actually had to later on get four surgeries. He actually got his ankle fused. And what happened was he was the only breadwinner at the time. My mother wasn't working. I had a 15-year-old brother, and I was the, you know, next keen in charge to take over the family. And I was left with the decision was that I would take over the business because I was 19 and I wasn't, you know, I could leave school at the time, and I had to support my family. And it was a very interesting time because I was going through my own stuff, and you know, I wasn't really mature enough at the time to do it. But I, you know, when you'd be surprised how much you step up in life when you have that situation, a situation like that. And I stepped up to the occasion. It was quite challenging because the employees at the time really didn't have much respect for me. They were more than twice my age. They looked at me like the brat's sons. They were very uncooperative. So it was very challenging. I had to fire some people, hire new people. And I, you know, took over the business for 18 months. My father was out of work for 18 months. And when he came back, it was just too much energy because it was two captains in one ship. He came back full force. He was well rested. Before he did that, he was working 7 days a week, so you can just imagine how burnt out he was. But now he came back full force and wanted to run it his way. So I went my separate ways. You know, I went my way, he went his, and I started finding my own path and going to my own entrepreneurial ventures. At a young age, at 21, I started an oxygen bar company. We were selling oxygen bars as business opportunities all over the world. We started an online dating website.
Oh.
And we also started, it was interesting. That's how I got into the community space. And then a marketing company. And what we did with the marketing company, our most successful service was selling fax broadcasting. So basically we're selling fax broadcasting all over. We were sending out faxes to businesses all over the country. And we were doing 1 million faxes per week.
Oof.
And the Attorney General finally shut us down. Because people were complaining, right, because the phone lines were tied up.
Right.
Their ink was being wasted and their paper was being wasted. So also on top of it, the government wasn't making, you know, they were losing money with the postage because we were charging about 7 cents a fax, and the postage at the time was somewhere a postcard like 20 cents a piece or more, and so they shut us down. And when I was, I don't know if you ever had the experience where something that you live for, I mean, for me it was my business, that was like my channel for my emotions. And when that was gone, that I lost my identity at that time because, for me, I was hiding from all my pain from the past through my business, through my success. And when that was gone, I was left with just me. And what was left was depression, clinically depressed for more than 10 years, way more than 10 years. I was 245 pounds. So I was roughly 50, 60 pounds overweight. And I didn't even pay attention because I was so busy.
Yeah.
Have you ever had that experience where you're just so busy you don't even pay attention to other things? My relationships were poor. I was in debt about $100,000 from the business. I was really in a need for a transformation. That was absolutely my rock bottom point.
Well, I think many times we need to hit the bottom before we can get up. And actually, somebody had submitted a question. I want to remind everyone, we have muted the call for call quality, but you can submit your questions on the puremomentum.com website page where you got the information to dial in. You can submit your questions on the lower left-hand side. And somebody has submitted a question, Manny. It's Steve from Encino. He says, how did you actually overcome depression?
That's what I was just about to get into. About a month later, after I was left with all this, a postcard came in the mail about an Anthony Robbins seminar, and Koya, I know you've experienced Tony Robbins, I'm sure many other people have on this call.
Absolutely.
And he was having an Unleash the Power Within weekend in New Jersey, and I lived in New York at the time. So I was just jazzed. I'm like, this is exactly what I was looking for. And after asking people to come with me, and they didn't want to come, finally somebody came with me, and you've heard the cliche, and the rest was history. And that event was the turning point of my life. It taught me about how I handle my emotions and it helped me release a lot of baggage from the past. It helped me understand health and so that I could help release I could release the weight that I've been carrying for so long.
Right.
And I dove right into my personal growth from there.
You were ready to receive clearly.
I was on fire. And that's where I've been the last few years.
And I know that. I've seen you, and I know that you're passionate about this. But I'd like to know what your definition is. You know, after all you've gone through, what is your definition of personal growth? Because I know there are multiple definitions for it.
Definitely. In the nature of the words personal growth, it shows that there's a personal experience. So each person has their own definition of personal growth. And after interviewing at least 100 or more people about asking them, you know, what is personal growth? Because it's so undefined in society. So I really wanted to get clear and see if I can come up with a common denominators. And what I came up with was three things within personal growth that are at least somewhat common. And the first one really is taking full responsibility.
Sure.
You know, it's not your parents' fault. It's not your friend's fault. It's not your sibling's fault or your teacher's fault. It's no one's fault. It's just your experiences are perfect, and it's time to take full responsibility. And really, the buck stops here. So wherever you're at right now is perfect. And once you own it, then you can go out and take the next step on it. And that's not really very common in society. It's more like the pointing the finger mentality.
Right. I've heard that comment. Go ahead.
No, please.
No, it was a comment that I learned recently. They said, you're not responsible for your childhood is not your fault, but your life is your responsibility. Which turned things around for me too. In what you're saying exactly is taking full responsibility as part of personal growth, the personal journey into the experience of living and having what you want. So I'm sorry, keep going, Manny.
Yeah, no, that's great. Thank you. And then the next part is really understanding that you create your life. And that was part of my first experience as a person. I was like, oh my God, you mean I created this? And that means if I can create it, then I can undo it. And it's really a beautiful thing to know that you have the power and that you are the judge, the referee, everything of your life. So you have all the power. Now it's just a matter of what you do with that power. And then the next part, which is a wonderful part as well, is the study of excellence. You know, it's like rather than doing a lot of trial and error, and that's what I did for most of my life in the beginning, was figuring things out on my own.
Right.
But with personal growth, you could study from people who have mastered areas of your life that you want to master, and you accelerate your growth. It's amazing. I love it.
Yes, yes, and really, and I know we'll get into it as we progress in the call, and I want to hear more about your book, but it's studying the science of excellence or the science of achievement, because then, you know, I really do get that your business or your life or whatever you want will only grow to the extent that you do. It becomes a direct reflection of what you want in your life, the standard of living, the quality of life you want. So I'm really passionate about this, so keep going.
It's fascinating.
Tell me about the book. I want to hear about this awesome book.
All right, I'll briefly mention the book.
Yes.
We won't go too deep because I really want to offer some really amazing content and give you some great things you can implement into your life.
Yes.
But really quick, the book is really a combination of wisdom from 56 extraordinary people. And I really wanted to get the insights from both people. I want to get insights from the consumer, both groups of people. I mean, we're all together, but I want to get the ideas from the consumers and also the industry leaders. So I went out there and I surveyed 30 consumers and found out what's working in their life. And I actually personally interviewed 26 leaders, Jack Canfield, Les Brown, Harvick, or Robert Allen. I specifically asked them for their, you know, what's your personal story? What have you gone through? What have you overcome? How did you do it? What books and seminars have you gone to or read that really made the difference? So they could share that with us. And then I went into what are the key insights and wisdom that you live by? You know, you might have learned a lot and you might teach a lot, but what do you actually live by that's made all the difference? So I'm all about leveraging, like this is what this call is about, leveraging the power of personal growth. So I wanted to consolidate it because time is so precious. I'm going to talk tonight about some strategies to maximize your time. But this book is really a way to consolidate your growth and to get it from so many people in one short, concise book. But also it's a book that you could also pass on to people in your life who might even be on the fence of personal growth and they're not really committed enough to go to a seminar or maybe not even a teleseminar. But in The Power of Personal Growth, it talks about you could be from someone who doesn't know anything about personal growth or from the top expert and get extreme value from it.
Right. You know, and I know being an avid seminar personality myself, I love going to seminars because I feel right at home. One of the challenges post-seminar and actually why we started Peer Momentum is what do you do with what you learn and how do you actually integrate what you learn? So I hope you can share some of those things with our members tonight to just optimize, you know, their personal growth efforts themselves.
Yes.
You know, what would be the first step into maximizing what people learn that you can share?
There's no hiding the fact that there's an epidemic that happens within personal growth, that there's so much information, there's so much going on that it sometimes can be difficult for people to maximize it and learn it. And I've come up with several foundational principles. I'm going to share what I believe the top five foundational principles that once you stay on this foundation that the rest that I talk about tonight will click in a lot stronger and anything you learn from now forward will click in. And the top five one I find is the judgment of yourself and comparing yourself to others.
Mm.
Everyone's in a different evolution. Everyone's, you know, I know for myself, I find myself comparing myself to maybe speakers and authors who are, you know, 5 years ahead of me. And I put myself back into a reality check. I say, wait, you know, this is where I'm at now. This is perfect. Look how far I've come. You know, so it's really important that you watch and use that as an indicator when it comes up that the judgment of yourself is only going to stop you from really leveraging what you learn. So you have to really be not only accepting where you're at, but being proud of where you're at, and then where do you go from there, rather than always looking outside of you for approval. It's really come in and release the judgment of yourself and then releasing of the comparing yourself. Because just like you compare yourself to people that have more than you or have accomplished more than you, you could also compare yourself to people who have not. So you're always perfect where you're at, and that's definitely a core foundation principle for maximizing what you learn. Because if you're always looking for more information to get you somewhere, then you're always on that treadmill of information. So you got to start
right.
with a foundation place of happiness and acceptance.
I really
Next
like
part,
that one.
Oh, thank you. This is coming from my personal experience and what I've you know seen from the hundreds and thousands of people that I've connected with by going to all these events.
Yes.
And always talking to them. The next one really is releasing the guilt from the past. And I'm going to talk about it in the context of our world, is if you've gone to a seminar and you haven't implemented it, great. That's in the past. You're a different person today. If you've read a book and you haven't, you know, really took anything out of it, that's fine. But if you've also went to it, this is a big one too, is if you went to achieve a goal, I've noticed that myself included at times get desensitized about setting goals and going for it because you might have not made it in the past. So letting that go, because now you're a new person, you know more now, and you've done more now. Letting go of anything from the past, of the guilt, the shame, the judgment, and if anything, of the lack of achievement in the past. That's absolutely...
Right.
It's gonna hurt you from achieving more in the future.
Yes, I, one of my mentors said that in the conversations we even have in our daily habits, we are about, I think we said about 70 or 75% of the conversations we have are on the past. It's living in the present, going towards the future where we should focus most of them, but also, you know, in the judgment and feeling incomplete, that guilt trip that we carry because we should know better, because we should have done more. I totally get where you're going, and this is very valuable, Manny. Sorry, keep going.
Thank you. I really wanted to give the foundational principles so we have some really structure to stand on top of tonight.
Yes.
The next one you've heard, I'm sure you've heard many times, is I know that.
Mm.
And I know that you've heard I know that.
I have.
Really to know, what did you say?
I have it, the three curse words.
But to know and not yet to do is not yet to know.
Right.
And another great principle attached to that is the power of repetition. You might have heard it in many different ways. Repetition is the mother of skill. Repetition is the second law of learning. So the idea that once you say that you've heard that, use that as an indicator to know that I better be listening, or I should listen stronger. Because either you've heard it before, which means that the more that people are saying it, the more important it must be. But the second part is it could possibly be the more that you need to hear it. So when you comes up, rather than checking out, that seems to be an indicator a lot of times that people check out.
Yeah.
That's an indicator to check in when you've heard a principle before.
Right.
Moving along is looking for instant gratitude versus working for sustainable results. And I know we're all humans and we're all, most likely most all Americans, but and I know it's really ingrained in our society. We want to take that pill to finish it, right? And we want to just get it all done now. But the reality is if you're going into this into any type of growth or any type of learning experience and you want to have it immediately, you're going to be building on a weak foundation. As you can tell, I'm big on foundation. It's really important to build a consistent habit and go for the long term. You know, you can't get a six-pack necessarily in a week.
Right.
So always think of how could I be building to set the foundation and the habits for my success rather than that instant, I want it now. If I can't get it now, I don't want it. And then constantly on that information treadmill.
Yeah, and we get a lot of people in coaching and training where they want immediate gratification or immediate results, and they get really frustrated because they think it could be done fast because they're committing a specific amount of time to it. But it's actually, I think that when you want something, the commitment has to come from within and allow yourself to fully believe in it. One, take action, right?
Yes.
And know that it takes time for a certain mastery of things. Even in the process of personal growth, it's not obvious that you're going to just take, you know, Tony's Kool-Aid and feel better or overcome depression. It's a lifestyle. You choose, right? You choose to be healthy, and you have the working towards goals or desires instead of working against something. I don't want to be depressed. Well, no, I want to be happy. Well, you know, even the focus, right?
Wow, you took the words out of my mouth. The next point was where you put your attention and where you put your focus.
Right. Oh,
because even with the gratification is that let's say you mastered one area, then there's a next level. There's a next level. There's a next level. So just know this: it's a lifelong journey.
Yes.
You never necessarily arrive because there's always the next step. But with where you put your attention and where you put your focus is critical. Because if you're on this call right now, checking your emails, sending out a text message, reading a book, or thinking about how what your day's going to look like tomorrow, are you really being able to absorb what I'm saying or what someone else could be saying to you at a different experience that you're learning? So checking in with your attention and your focus is absolutely a foundational principle.
I believe so. I couldn't agree more. There's nothing like being in the present. It's also a discipline and self-control, because we're definitely living in an attention deficit society where there's so much information out there and so many opportunities, and we just get scattered. And I'll include myself at
times.
Yes, time.
Me too, totally.
But when you really want something, when you really focus, and living for me in that state of gratitude, Manny, where you are committed, right? But now what I want to get to is knowing this, Manny, how can people achieve actually results, a desirable outcome? You know, from your website, we see that you lost over, 70 pounds, 75 pounds? More than that.
It was up about 50 pounds.
50 pounds over a period of 11 months, I believe.
Yes.
And, you know, you had an outcome. What is this process for you? What was this process, Manny?
Well, I've learned to simplify it. I've done it in a difficult way, but someone's really broke it down for me and simplified it. And his name is Jim Bunch, and you could Google him. He's a really great guy. JimBunch, and he has a philosophy that is three A's: awareness, action, and accountability.
Yeah.
And I'll break those down for you a little bit deeper. So in your awareness, ask yourself, what do you want? Why do you want it? And what are the first few action steps? Let me go a little bit more into detail with that. If you don't know what you want, you can't get it, right? If you go to a restaurant and you don't place an order, you're not going to get anything. Same thing with the universe. We've all seen The Secret. That's pretty self-explanatory. Knowing why you want it is just as important, because the bigger the why, the easier the how.
Right.
That's a typical Jim Rohn quote. But also what Les Brown talks about, which I think is so cool, is the how is none of your business.
Right,
and the reason and the reason why that is because a lot of times people will take themselves out of the game because the how it looks just seems too big. I don't know. But if you think about the movie The Secret, remember what Jack Canfield talked about the 200 miles, 200
right.
feet in front of you when you're driving from L.A. to New York. You take one step at a time. You could see two or three steps ahead of you, and then another two or three steps appear. It's kind of like what Martin Luther King said, is you might not see the whole staircase. But take the next step.
Right.
Take the first step.
Yeah.
So you could take it in chunks, like the elephant. In the neurolinguistic programming world, they'll say, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. You could only take one step at a time. And that's really where awareness comes in.
Yes.
Going to action now is, of course, massive and consistent action. But it's like Tony Robbins says, and you'll see I quote a lot of people because I'm an avid learner, is that ordinary actions done consistently produce extraordinary results. So it's not like you have to take tremendous actions to get the results. It's the ordinary actions that make the difference. It's the momentum. It's the doing it on a consistent basis and building habits. So rather than focusing on breaking old habits, focus on building habits that are attached to your outcomes, and your existing habits will disappear.
Yeah.
So again, it's focusing on the consistency,
right.
Not the instant gratification, the sustainable, consistent actions and results. So again, with awareness, I'll do a little bit of review, is what do you want, why do you want it, and what are the first few steps? With action, it's taking the massive and consistent action. It's building the habits that are setting you up for success in the outcomes that you want to create. The next step, which can be confronting for some people, is accountability.
Mm.
Very, very big. When I learned about accountability, my personal growth soared. That's basically, like you'll see, like that 11 months, that I'm basically the time frame when I had a big chunk of my results, it was the last 2 months that I got accountability was what really made the difference. So this is a big one, but they don't teach too much about in typical events from my experience.
Right.
There's a few levels of accountability. One that I love and enjoy is a daily accountability partner. And it would take roughly 30 minutes to set up, find somebody that you jive with, that you feel like you're aligned with, and that will hold you to account. So what happens sometimes, if it's family members, I would highly not recommend it. If it's a really close friend, I would also not recommend it. Find someone who's a friend, but maybe not your best friend, because you want someone to hold you strictly to account that will really say, all right, why didn't you do it? You know, and really get down to the core, because otherwise, why would you have an accountability partner?
Right.
And to share a story of my life, last night, for example, it was 8 o'clock, and I hadn't gone to the gym, and I promised I would go to the gym. And normally I would say, oh, my day was too busy, I did enough today. No, but I actually made a commitment. I had to talk to my, I'm going to speak to my partner the following morning, this morning. So I got up, let go of my story, put my shoes on, and went to the gym. And that happens to me almost every day, where there's an action item that I forgot, and I would normally, if I was left on my own, I would let it go. But since I'm accountable to somebody, I do it. Another principle go ahead.
No, yeah, I was going to just say it's that accountability that is so necessary. I think you're right. That is the missing component from the highs we get when we attend various seminars. And they can add the component element, because it just prolongs it. You go for a high. You get a lot of valuable information. You go home. You try to digest it. In fact, that was our story. We came back from a seminar once, and we're like, oh, we're so excited. Where do we get started? And we're like, a few days passed by and we didn't do anything, 4,000 or $5,000 later.
Yes.
And so Pure Momentum got started because it said, you know what, it's about the action. It's about what are we doing, what are we committing to, so that we can move forward. And it's taking action. It is doing, taking the plunge.
And it's all great in theory, but when
yep.
you have somebody beside yourself
yep.
that you have to be accountable to, or multiple people, of course, but the one-on-one experience is a really gratifying experience because now you're holding their own account. You see them actually producing results and getting and taking action and having fun, and you get to do the same beyond what your comfort zone is. That's the big key. Because every day, this is how I set it up. This is another principle from Jim Bunch. Is I take three actions that are three stretches per day. One in my area of health, one in the area of happiness, one in the area of wealth. So each day I take a stretch beyond what I would normally do in those three areas of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And even if the rest of the day I did nothing, but if I did those three things, my day was a success.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we have such a huge bar for what our day has to be like to be successful. But if you break it down into those three areas, you have some balance. And you're actually able to get some tangible results and be happy.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're reading the 4-Hour Work Week, and I think you may or may have read it already, with Timothy Ferriss, and I like the combination of the stretches plus taking two action items, you know, from your vision, your global vision. Because then, you know, and it's the time issue. I would like to, you know, get your opinion on how to maximize our time for success, considering everything we have to do in our days, plus, you know, what we're committed to. You know, whether it's our business, our personal life, our health. How do you suggest we maximize our time?
I have so much conversation I want to say that I want to backstep a second. There's two other
Sure.
things I wanted to say with accountability.
Yes.
Two other levels of accountability that you could utilize in your life is another one is publicly sharing your goals.
Yes.
Putting yourself out there, sending an email out to your friends, family, and colleagues and saying, these are my goals for the next 90 days, the next month, the next year. Because what happens is you box yourself in. So let's say you have a health goal and you go to dinner with a friend or a family member and you order a piece of cake or dessert. And they say to you, well, aren't you supposed to be, you know, weighing a certain amount or aren't you supposed to do this? Now, that might be uncomfortable for certain people, but at the same token, it's boxing yourself in to produce the result.
Right.
It's really powerful. It's happened to me firsthand. It's amazing. And the next one, which I'm sure we've all heard of, which is really powerful too, is a mastermind group.
Yes.
Because you actually, you get resources, which is a great, it's like a think tank for your own stuff, which is great, your own projects. But also, if you have to set the mastermind group up powerfully, is you set up action items that you're going to take based on what you got in your mastermind group. And you come back to the call next week, next month, and you say, what did you get done? We don't want to let our friends and family down or whoever else is in that mastermind group.
Right. And you've heard of Greg Morse, our quantum monk.
Of course, he's a friend. He's a wonderful guy.
He's a wonderful man. He actually knew I was doing a teleseminar with you and asked me to ask you what your hard virtues were, but we'll leave that for later if we have time.
Oh, yeah, we'll get that. I have them.
I love Greg. But he teaches one concept that is share your dreams, ideas, goals with people that can actually help you or empower you to achieve them versus just anyone who can actually perhaps can hold you back because they've never been there, so they don't know how you're going to achieve it. So I really like that you incorporated the mastermind concept because ideally it's a mastermind of people that can help you get there, that can empower your journey versus trying to hold you back because the tribe is comfortable with you being a little bit 10 pounds overweight because they're 15. So it's critical.
I'm on the fence with that one, too. I agree with Greg, but I'm a little on the fence because you also can inspire somebody by
sure.
you being an example. So I'm on the fence. I understand what he's going 100%.
Yes.
But you could also inspire other people to do the
Absolutely.
Same.
Absolutely. And I think ultimately is that. But, you know, when you're focused on a desired outcome is, and
yes.
like Brian Tracy says, you know, you become the average of the five people you surround yourself with, so be wise in choosing your peers.
Yes. And Tony's quote is, your life is a direct reflection of the expectations
of your peer.
Of your peer group.
I
ooh,
know.
That's a, that gives me the chills thinking
I
about it.
I love talking to you, Manny. The audience, they can send in their QAs. We're just loving this. We can talk all night about all these great matches, but let's get back to this.
You want to get back into time?
Back into time. How do you maximize it? You have to stay focused.
Yeah, let's get into it. Because the reality is that it's really what you do with your time, because we all have the same commodity of time. So some of us might have more money or less money. Some of us might have more resources and less resources. But we all have the same ground when it comes to time. We all have the, we all start in the beginning and end at the end with the same amount of time. And I'm a big believer, one of the core principles there is when you schedule something, it gets done.
Yes.
That's just been my experience. So if you really want to get something done, you got to schedule it. That's really what it comes down to. And let me give you some techniques that I've learned that really revolutionized my relationship with time. The first one is a mind release. It's similar to a to-do list, but what happens is with the mind release is you just empty your mind with every miscellaneous task, whether it's small or large or anything in between, with anything you got to do. So let's say you could even break it down to a project. You have one project, just dump and release everything out of your mind. Because if it's stuck in your mind, then you have to constantly think about it and it's stopping you from being productive in your life. Get it all down on one laundry list. You could have 100, you could have 200, you could have 300 items. It's not relevant. What's important is that you get it out of your mind.
Yeah.
It's absolutely critical to release your mind of the pressure of too much information. There's enough going on in our lives, in our world, to think about, let alone having to think about all your miscellaneous things that need to get done.
Yeah, we need an information diet.
You know, I heard it said that you actually have more information in one day now than you had 100 years ago your whole life.
Yeah, I believe that.
That's amazing.
It is incredible.
Now, with this mind release, you want to organize and prioritize what all this information. So what I do is I organize it based on specific projects in my business. Then in my life, I break it up in different areas, my relationships, my spirituality, my growth, whatever areas I want to, you know, have items on. And then I number them from 1 to 3. So if the items are 3, I leave them there. If the items are 1 or 2, I'll start deciding when I want to get them done. And then I look at the items and say, okay, well, what am I going to do, and what am I going to outsource? It could be to a virtual assistant, could be to, you know, a family member, depending on who's involved and what you're doing. You want to really work on your strengths and outsource your weaknesses. I don't know if you've heard that concept before, but it's really important. A lot of people say you want to work on your weaknesses and really strengthen those. But the philosophy that I've learned that's really powerful is do what you play at and
right.
Outsource what you work at.
I like that one.
That will transform your life. Because a lot of times is what boggles you down energy-wise and drags you on for a while on a project is that you're doing tasks, that you're not having fun with, that you don't really do well. So
yeah,
go ahead.
No, I've totally seen that in many scenarios in traditional corporate America. Work and improve your weaknesses.
Yeah, it's backwards.
Totally backwards, and I really believe in this mindset where, yeah, leverage your strengths and outsource your I don't want to even call them weaknesses.
Well, right, things you'd rather not do.
Yeah, because they take time, and that's not what you thrive at. So
right.
This is a very good one.
You'll gain so much traction if you just do what you like, and sometimes you can't. And what happens, what I've done in the past is if I'm not in the situation to outsource everything, sometimes I'll find someone who really is my opposite that plays at what I work at and vice versa, and we'll take an hour out of the day. I'll give them a half hour in my area of expertise, and they'll give me a half hour or an hour or whatever you take. So that way you're able to have that trade that could help you financially. So you could have, for example, have someone clean your home, and maybe you can coach them, or maybe you could do their accounting, depending on what your area of expertise is. Utilizing barter really helps that philosophy as well.
I think so. And it definitely maximizes time, yeah.
Yeah, totally. And then you want to be cautious on how often you do that, but it's definitely an option if you need it. It's really something that I utilize a lot. Then the next part is you want a time block. And basically, so now you have all your tasks and you know what's important to you. You want to outline your day and your week. in the beginning, I was a little resistant to outlining my week. I'm thinking to myself, how do I know what I'm going to do on Friday when it's Sunday? And when basically what I've done is I break down almost each hour or maybe half hour, depending on how long tasks take, and I set time up. I basically have life direction, and a lot of people are from Peak Potentials, is they have the big rock system. So you schedule your big stuff first, and you know your smaller stuff last. So what I've done with my time block is I schedule all my prime time hours. And what that means is time that I'm focused on whatever the task is at hand. No, I don't check any emails. I don't check my phone. Nothing distracts me when I'm working on that prime time, whatever that task is. So I just write in the time block prime. And what that basically means is that whatever I'm doing at that moment, I'll decide the day before, there's no distractions. There was a study done from Harvard that says if you're multitasking, if you deter your energy even for a second, not a second, but, you know, a few, you know, for a short period of time on something else, it takes the original task 25% longer to do.
Oh, wow.
So it's really important that on that focus prime time to really focus on that task at hand.
Yes.
Then I set up times where I check my emails and times where I take and make phone calls. Very important. People are calling you based on their schedule. So set up times in your calendar where you're going to make and take phone calls. So people know that you respect your time and you respect theirs, because now you're scheduling calls around what works for you, and they'll find a time that works for you and them when you have set call times. And what I've utilized in the past, and I took it off for a little bit because I'm contacting a lot of the same people, but I have an auto response email that basically says Tim Ferriss made this popular, is basically,
yeah,
I'm only checking email from so and so to so and so. If it's urgent, use this method, whatever that method is for you, and I take phone calls from this time to that time. This is basically setting yourself up for success so that your time is maximized on what you want rather than what someone else wants.
Yes.
And if you're always answering the phone or checking emails when they come in, that's just dragging you down of maximizing your time. So if you have a noise that comes up when you're checking your email, turn that off. It's going to be just a complete distraction. Unless you have certain emails from certain people you have to check, then maybe do that just for those people. But in general, check your emails on your schedule. There's about three more principles on the time. A great question to ask yourself before you take on a task is, what is the single best use of my time right now? So let's say you have a prime. You look at your mind release list and you say, what is the best use of my time right now based on what outcome you want to achieve for the day or for the week? Next one is being conscious of your goals when you're planning for the week. So your week is going to change based on what your goals are for that week or that month. So, again, it's really important to know what you want to accomplish that month or that year so you can scale it down to what you want to get done that week and that month. And one thing I do is ahead of time is on Sundays, now it takes less than an hour because I've set it up already, is I set my week up in advance. So I check in each day to make sure I'm still on task, but when I do it a week in advance, you're not going to believe how much better you sleep,
mm-hmm.
how energized you are in the morning, because you don't have to think about it's all done for you already. It's very powerful.
It is. It's effective.
Is there any questions on time at all?
No, we're good on time. We got another 15 minutes, but if we can...
No, I'm saying questions on maximizing time. Sorry.
No, I wasn't clear.
Well,
I think, did we do this? Let's see, we have mind release, time block, setting call times for emails as well, and goals for the month. Did you say you had any more on that one?
That's everything for the time. I wanted to give you chunkable. If I gave you too much, it'd be harder to implement. I wanted to give you really what makes the biggest difference.
Yes, and thank you, Manny. You know, in the 4-hour work week, it says when you feel you have no time, it's because you don't have priorities.
That was
a big learning for me. You know, instead of complaining that I have no time, well, in fact, I have no priorities.
Wow.
I really appreciate that you mentioned having goals. Clearly, you have your vision for the year. You can break it down by month and then by week, and really like that you've developed a system, and I recommend this as well, as a system where you keep yourself accountable with, you know, certain tasks for each day and not drive yourself crazy. and keep yourself accountable, right? Like your buddy or your mastermind group. But setting
your day up for success. I'm sorry, but setting yourself up for success is really critical. So rather than putting this huge bar above, what are the three stretch items you could do per day?
Yes.
That when everything else that you've done will be gravy, and then you just can keep building on that momentum of success.
Absolutely, absolutely. So building on that one, Manny, since we absorb a lot of information, and oftentimes some of us are in information diets and some of us are not, because we're still collecting data to grow ourselves, to grow our vision, or to empower the journey. Some people in their personal growth are at the beginning. Some are at the middle. Some are already implementing and doing great things with their lives. But, you know, it's challenging to absorb all this information from multiple channels we get it from. So, you know, what would be a way to capitalize, you know, some techniques for people to capitalize on information they learn? What has worked for you?
Well, really, again, it's getting crystal clear on your goals.
Okay.
Because what happens is when you're going to an event or you're even talking to a friend or you're on a mastermind call, wherever you're at, when you're clear on what you want to accomplish, what happens is the information that comes to you goes through your filters. Have we heard of the reticular activating system, the RAS?
Mm.
Since there's so much information going on, there's a reticular activating system in your brain that basically filters out information. Everything you see, hear, feel, and taste, and touch, all of that is really important, because once you know what you want, and you have it, basically, have you ever heard it said, if you don't stand for something, you fall for anything?
Yeah.
So if you're not clear on what you want, you could be sold on every seminar, every book, and every audio program, because you're not clear on what you want, so you'll just take anything.
Right.
And this is really important. So if you're clear on your goals for that month, or that year, or that quarter, only do events in that area of that topic or that area of life. Only read books in that area. You know, if you're not a business owner, I would probably recommend not taking necessarily an advanced business course, because the information is not going to be able to funnel through you powerfully, because you're not going to be able to apply it into something.
Mm.
And I remember I went to Guerrilla Business School a couple of years ago. I didn't have a business that I wanted to focus on. The information was so amazing, but it just went in one ear, not literally, but in one ear and out the other. Because I didn't have anywhere to apply it to. The ideas couldn't relate into a specific project because I didn't have one. So really attending the events or reading the books that you are that's aligned with your core goals for that moment in time, whatever they are.
That makes sense. It makes sense because you're right. It's selective listening. It's applying what we learn. Is it useful? We'll select what works. Our brain, too, you know, our creative side will absorb what is fun, what is exciting, and if you're not working on it, you're just filling up time.
Right, and just taking knowledge for the love of knowledge.
Right.
The challenge is if you're not going to be able to absorb it to the level you want to, and you're not going to be able to get the return on your investment if you don't attach a specific goal or an intention to a specific learning experience.
That makes a lot of sense. Very good.
And this also adds more to that is, I'm going to continue, I'm sorry,
sure.
But less is more.
Less
you know,
is
I'd rather
more.
See you read one book three times. I'd rather see you review one seminar over and over again rather than going to one event, you know, going to 10 events in one year. And I'm guilty. I've done it before. See, the idea of repetition, again, is so crucial to your learning. So you can maximize, you can leverage your growth by attending, like going to the same seminar, or even imagine this concept, opening the book after you've attended a seminar. That's a challenge unto itself. You know, having a study group, like what you're doing with Peer Momentum, is have a study group after that event. Go out and actually teach what you've learned to others.
Right.
So before you go to that event, set up a time where that you send out an email to your friends that I'm going to teach what I'm learning on this teleseminar. Because when you teach it, you're actually integrating it because you're hearing it more. You have to prepare. You have to explain it in a way that makes sense to you to teach it. Just like tonight, I'm learning more by sharing it with you.
Yes.
It's very, very powerful. And another principle is you want to learn your learning styles. So you want to know how you learn the most effective way. So Some people like to read, which is audio digital. You're kind of reading it to yourself. Some people like to listen to audio programs. Some people like to attend seminars. Find out comes down to modalities, is how do you learn the best? So if you don't really learn through audio, maybe the audio programs aren't as powerful for you. And you can just tell by how you feel when you're learning it. Are you really absorbing it? Just really check in with yourself. So you're not learning just to learn, but you're learning what makes the most sense for you and your learning style.
And that's very important for just the absorption, the retention of the information you actually get.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's a few items that you could take. I'll leave you with four in this topic. I'll leave you with four ways you could set yourself up for success before you learn anything. First part is empty your cup. I don't know if you've heard it said that you can't add more in until you empty what you've had. So really just clear your mind before you get into any learning experience, of clear your mind of the day, of your past learning experience, whatever, so that you're fresh and can absorb new information. So that could be being present, breathing. It could be journaling. It could be just having some way of completing whatever you were doing before or the night before, whatever emotional experience you're having at the time. So you want to empty your cup. It's kind of a metaphor for, you know, really emptying your mind. Schedule a day off, you know, the day you come back, or a call that you'll have with other people or people from the seminar the next following week. So let's say you go to a weekend seminar, do something like a Wednesday or Thursday evening where you'll have a teleseminar, either you're teaching it or you're having a study group, so that people are constantly keeping it in the conversation. That's really the key, is keeping your information in your awareness.
Right.
Another one is writing down questions before you go. Attending what you want to get out of it and finding out what you want to know about it will help the RIS absorb, the reticular activating system, absorb what you want to learn. So having the questions or intentions beforehand is critical. Also, the last one is how you take your notes. In the back of your binder, make a list of action items. But yes, I'm sure your action items will be a couple of pages long, but make them the top three one. Pick the top three that you could actually do, because, again, you want to build yourself up for success. So pick, even if it's one, you know, even if you do one action item, take one at a time if that helps you. But take one form of action, it'll put you in momentum, and you're opt-in for the second and the third and the fourth. So those are just four ones that really could really help you in implementing what you learn.
Implementing, absolutely, and the retention level. I really like how you the writing questions before you go, because clearly you've set some oftentimes we are told not to set expectations, but clearly we do, and I believe that you'll manifest what you want if you are committed or focusing on it, and you'll create more value out of what you get in the end. So, Manny, we have about 10 more minutes.
I know, I saw that.
I would like to, you know, earlier we said you become the average of the, you know, five people you surround yourself with, or the level of your peers' expectations we live up to. You've interviewed some really powerful and awesome people for your book, Jack Canfield, Les Brown, Harv Eker, Robert Allen, and I'm sure many others, and I hope you can talk more about it, but, you know, we become the people we associate with. So how does my community get in touch and network with someone like you? You've obviously become part of an awesome circle of people. How can people connect with you now? You're part of those influential many now.
Thank you. Well, knowing you is the first step. I mean, honestly, Claudia and Fabrice are one of the most loving and centered and amazing people I've ever met. I'm just really blown away to be on this call and to be in your lives. But I'd definitely love to share with you some of the techniques that I've learned to connect with somebody like Jack Canfield. He's a very busy guy. How do I get, you know, 20, 30 minutes of his time? And it really first started is what's finding out what's important to them. So it could be researching around them, or it could be asking them point blank, what's important to you? What's your number one project? What excites you? You know, and then you want to find out, even before you do that possibly, is what are your strengths, skills, and assets that you can offer to them? Because the big question that you want to always have in the back of your mind, this is kind of what ingrained in my mind, is how can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
They have so many people come up to them, it's kind of comical, that ask them to support, for them to support the person asking. What I mean by that is, let's say I'm going up to Jack Campbell and I say, Jack, you know, I have this big project I really want you to work on. You know how many times people get that?
No,
so go up to him and find out how you really can genuinely support him in their mission, him or her, in their mission. And be extremely humble and sincere. How it started for me was how I got my first interview was Harv Eker was by being a volunteer, point blank. You know, being a volunteer and working hard for free.
Right.
And then being humble and just really being sincerely giving, it will come back. Absolutely. And have a it's so critical. I mean, even recently, I went to a Mark Victor Hansen event and I volunteered. And I was friends with a lot of the speakers. And some people were like, why are you wearing a purple staff shirt? I don't understand. Like, why are you not either on stage or, you know, a student or just whatever, or have a booth? And I was like, well, I'm here to serve and I have more access this way, and I'm really here to make a difference and to meet the most amount of people. And that happened to be the most amazing experience by being a volunteer. So it's really coming from a humble place and a coming of service and how you could support them. And it's like a breath of fresh air for them when they have that experience. It's amazing.
Yes. And they see the quality of care, that you do care, that it matters to you, that their outcome, their intention is delivered and you become part of their team and the vision. And I believe in exactly 100% with what you're saying, Manny. This is really cool.
Yeah, you don't have to necessarily volunteer. There's many ways of doing it.
Yeah.
But it still comes down to philosophy, is really being genuine, sincere, and how you can support them and really having a purpose in mind.
Yes. Yes. So I know you're passionate about leveraging the power of personal growth in our lives. So tell us a little bit. How does your book help us do that?
Well, the power of personal growth, really, the main things why I've done it was really to consolidate the content to support people on their growth. Is how could I save you time, effort, and money from reading hundreds of books on the subject? And I really wanted to get down to the core of what are the stories that people have never heard before? You know, where a lot of these people I've interviewed, I've asked them unique ways to share with me information they've never shared with other people in a public way. Because a lot of times you've heard a lot of the same stories. But I wanted to have something that was very unique. So that's what I specifically asked them. And also, it's very important to know how they did it, because success leaves clues. So you can model what they did and get a very similar, if not the same exact result. You can read the books they read, the seminars they've gone to, and the actions they took. And that's what they share. And that's what they share with us in the Power of Personal Growth. And one of my favorite parts about it is, again, I said this before, is the insights and wisdom they live by. I'm just a real big stickler for this, because you could read all the books and you could go to all the seminars, but it's a lot of it becomes philosophies and just, you know, principles. But what actual principles do you currently live by that make the difference for you? And what I found was just amazing. It was really just absolutely extraordinary stuff, from, like, you know, T. Harv Eker talking about how inner peace is his priority.
Yeah.
You know, Les Brown talking about you have to be willing to do today the things that others won't do, to have tomorrow,
right,
the things that others won't have. You know, core things like that, that really, to me, just shape, even just reading it, you know, on a daily basis really shapes my life.
Yes, and it becomes a model, right, for us to live our great life. And what better than to hear it from those that have walked the path already.
Right, and also students, you know, yes, other students just like us who have done it.
Right.
And we get it in chunks, little chunks. It's like, you know, a couple of paragraphs of text per person, so you're able to get it in a chunk. And I also share a lot of what I'm sharing here in this presentation or this interview in chunk pieces as well, because the key is the repetition, right? So
right,
you might have a bad day, and this information might not come to your hand, but if you have a book in your, you know, book nearby, a very thin book nearby that you could actually open up. I have mine by my bed, you know, since I have a demo copy. I read it before I go to bed, because I could easily read two paragraphs and get more value there than I would maybe from a 200-page book that I read from front to back.
Yes, and I think I can appreciate that, Manny, because with time, you know, I think it was Jack Canfield who said, you know, take 10, 20 minutes of your day, start it with something optimistic, something positive, something that will get you going in the right mindset. So I appreciate that. And I was reading on your website about the book, and there's a mention of two tickets to a virtual course valued at $2,390. Can you definitely tell us about it and why?
Yes.
That sounds like a very generous offer. I want
to
hear
more. Well, part of it, of course, is to be transparent, is marketing, right? I mean, T.R. Becker, he was hugely successful in impacting people's lives by offering his two tickets to his Millionaire Mind Intensive, and I wanted to find a way to do the equivalent. Is how could I impact a lot of people and add a lot of value, but also be in integrity with what I'm passionate about? And really what I'm passionate about is how do people actually implement it and leverage the power of personal growth in their life. So I was brainstorming, and inspiration happened at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I woke up to, you know, creating a virtual curriculum.
Yeah.
And basically what that looks like is, see, people get results when they actually do it in their everyday lives. You know, if they go to, let's say, a multi-speaker event, it's so much information, they go home and there's just so much information, they just typically, not all the time, don't really do anything with it. But see, with the virtual curriculum, what we're going to do is we're actually going to take people through a process week by week for 12 weeks. We're going to help them articulate their mission and vision, help them articulate their goals, possibly their year goals or quarterly goals, and then break it down to what are their goals from the course, for the course, where they are now and where they want to be at the end of the course.
Yes.
Then we'll survey them and find out what skills and knowledge do they want to learn or need to learn to get from point A to point B. And we'll actually create the curriculum based on the needs of the students, which has never been done before. Because typically, you know, you go to a marketing seminar, the people put on the marketing seminar, and they choose what you want to learn.
Right.
But with this course is we're going to actually survey the people and find out what they need. So we custom build it to the needs of the people. There will be an opportunity for you to sign up as a VIP member, of course, which will have the, you know, because it has to be an upsell, otherwise it wouldn't be financially beneficial. But, again, you can go through the course for 12 weeks for free and have the, and then we'll bring you the top experts in any given field that the students need.
Very nice. So how can people get access or get involved with your book and your virtual courses? Can you?
Yeah, absolutely. Guide? Basically, two tickets to the virtual courses come for free with the book. The book has several bonuses included, plus audio interviews with Jack Canfield, Alison Armstrong, who's an expert in relationships. It's on our website. If you're on the peermomentum.com website, there's a link that should say Get Manny's Book. It's on there.
Yes.
If you click on that link, you'll be able to see a little summary of my story and the reason why I created the book and what's in the book. You'll see a whole picture collage of all the industry leaders in the book, 25 in total. And everything is there. And if you're not on the Pre-Momentum website now, just go on that website and click on this interview, and you'll see the Get Manny's Book on there.
Yes.
And that's how you'll get it.
Here it is. It's fabulous. Wonderful, Manny.
You'll see before. You also get to see before and after pictures.
I know.
The old me and the new me.
That's why we have so many ladies on the phone. It's like the weight issue. You're just really hot and handsome.
Oh, thank you so much.
And we're going to unmute the lines for those that want to jump in last minute. We're about to complete our call, but we're unmuting the lines now. If anybody would like to share any final comments, please feel free to do so now. Hello?
Yes?
Yes, if anybody on this call would like to share some comments, expressions of gratitude for Manny or any, you guys are welcome to do so. The lines have been unmuted.
Well, I would like to say thank you. This has been very inspirational.
Well, thank you. Who's this?
This is
Audrey. You're so welcome.
Audrey?
Hi, Audrey.
Hi.
Well, I'm really glad you were on the call, Audrey. This is valuable stuff. Manny has definitely hit on some points that we all could use from learning and hearing, and like you said, again and again, because life is a process, and it's not that we take the Kool-Aid and we're okay.
We're definitely talking to the choir. I mean, if you're part of the PureMomentum.com website and community, you obviously understand the power of community and networking. It's amazing. Yeah.
Yes. So I'd like to conclude this call. You can go on the PureMomentum.com website, click on Get Manny's Book, and you will get all these goodies. It's a very generous offer, everyone, 12 weeks of a virtual curriculum where Manny will custom craft sessions, workshops, tools to support and empower your journey. I am very grateful, Manny. I thank everyone who was on the call. I wish you success, love, happiness, vitality, all the wonderful things that that are meant to be yours, because I know you're attracting them, Manny.
Thank you so much. This is such a pleasure to be on this call tonight. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Manny, and thank you, everyone. We'll be in touch. The next teleseminar will be announced in the coming weeks. And the book club is meeting February 2nd. You can find more details on the PureMomentum.com website. So thank you, everyone.
Have a fabulous
night,
everyone.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.